Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning, to hear the songs of God, Zion, the presence of the Lord most of all. I'm glad to be a child of God. I was thinking about the song that was just sung and the exhortation that we received, and it's encouraging to our hearts because it's all true. We have power and we have the privilege of prayer at all times. And we have it especially when the Lord is dealing with our hearts. Sometime when we hear the word of God, we hear it and we're listening for how it would help somebody else. But what God has is for us personally. And then he's got something else for somebody else personally. And all of that access and all of that power and all of that privilege of prayer, we can use that to draw closer unto the Lord, to be pleasing and honoring unto him in every needed way. And so I'm encouraged by that this morning. My discourse, my message this morning is along a different line. The title would be called Time, T-I-M-E. And as always, I desire your prayers as we look into the Word of God. There will be no time that I want to get up here without the Lord. I want him to lead and to guide and to direct. What is said and what is done, I want it to be done to his glory and to his honor. So be praying for us. We have an enemy of all souls that wants to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to destroy and negate the Word of God. And so we have to fight him, and we have to learn how to fight him more effectively and to be aware that that's what he's doing. And so we have a fight to fight this morning. So be praying for us. My mother used to say that time is precious and it's passing. Time is precious and it's passing. It's one of the most valuable. It's not the most valuable, but it's one of the most valuable commodities that we have. A commodity is anything that is of great worth and great value. And so time is that way. We think that we have a lot of time many times, but the Bible says no man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall come. It also says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And so we realize and we recognize that time is of the utmost importance. And so we have to place value on our time. We have the ability to choose what we're going to do with our time. And so we need to be careful that we value it and that we're using that time to be pleasing, to be honoring, to be all that we can be for the Lord. May the Lord help us this morning. I want to talk about this morning time. Lord been talking to me about it, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I reached the half a century mark last month, praise the Lord. And I remember a time when I couldn't believe or even understand if I'd ever get there, and the Lord knows all about that. But the Lord helped me to see 50 years old, and I've been noticing something. I'm going to mention this twice at least in this message. There was an analogy that was given to me, and I think it's true. When I was 10 years old or about that age, it seemed like time was moving at 10 miles an hour. When I was 20, it sped up a little bit to about 20 miles an hour. And on and on and on. Now that I'm 50, it seemed like time is moving a whole lot faster than when it was moving back when I was 10 years old. May the Lord help us. It seemed like time is like that. It seems to speed up the more time that we've been on this earth. And so may the Lord help us to value each moment that the Lord gives us and to be careful about what we are doing with the time that we are given. May the Lord help us. We don't have as much time as we think we have. We need to be getting ready to see the Lord. There's a song that says, I'm getting ready to leave this world. We need to get ready to leave this world. May the Lord help us. Time is defined as the indefinite, continued progress of existence and events. It includes past, it includes present,
and it includes the future regarded as a whole. And so no matter how much time we do have, it's already less than what we had before. From the moment I began to preach this message, we've got less time than what we had before I began to preach. And so we have to look at it in those ways. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3:1. Very familiar scripture. I'm going to read down to verse number 2. You all be praying for us. We want the Lord to bless and to work. Want you to be thinking about the matter of your soul. Want you to be thinking about not only the matter of your soul, want you to be thinking about what you are doing with your time, the time that God has given you. May God help us this morning. It says here, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. All right, and so time is something that God ordained or originated. All right, before there was time, there was God. The Bible says, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so before even time began, God existed. All right, and when time is be no more, God will exist. God inhabits the entirety of eternity, and time exists somewhere in the middle of all that. And so when he spoke the world into existence, time began. And so God is the originator of time, and since he's the originator and the creator of time, he has what is called providence. The providence is his divine protection and his divine will for our lives. And so when he gives us life, he not only gives us that life, but he has a will and a purpose for our lives, each and every one of us. And it starts way down when we were young. God wanted to make an acquaintance with us when we are little bitty children. He wants us to know about who he is and what his purpose is for our life. And so he comes calling for you and for me. He begins to make himself known to you and to me. I want to encourage you young people, be aware of God's call. Be aware of how he's dealing with you and how he wants to work with you. If you can get into his will and into his purpose at a young age, you're doing yourself a favor. You're going to miss so many tricks and traps. You're going to miss many pitfalls that the enemy has for you. I want to encourage you, get to know the Lord while you're young, and you'll be doing yourself a favor. May the Lord help us this morning. So we're talking about God's divine providence, his divine protection, his divine will. Do you know that if we are in his will, being in his will is a big part of his protection? May the Lord help us this morning. Do you know they talk about Job there and in Job, and it talks about how the devil came and he wanted to do something to Job, didn't he? But what happened though? He found that there was a hedge around Job, didn't he? And so when, in the same way, when you and I are allowing God to have his way in our lives, we have his protection around us. And when we are not, then what would that indicate? Where's his protection? If we are not living for the Lord, if we're not doing all that we know and understand, we are in an unprotected state, are we not? May the Lord help us. And so it's very important to know the Lord and then be doing all that we can to be pleasing and honoring unto God so that we can be inside the center of his will, so that we can be protected from the enemy. May the Lord help us this morning. And so God has a will and he wants us. His love is what causes him to want to protect us. His love not only wants to protect us in this life, but in the life to come. He has a plan and a will for our lives. What we need to do is to know that we have a choice, and then we need to, Lord, by the help of God, make a good choice. The Bible talks about making the good choice, and God has that for us this morning. We can accept his will and follow his plan, or we can disobey him, we can rebel. and we will be a part of our own destruction. There's a verse found in Jeremiah 29:11. You write that down if you don't know about it. I'm going to quote it for you. It says, I know the thoughts that I think of thee, thoughts of good and not evil, to bring you to, and I want you to pay attention to this, an expected end. What we want is what God wants for our lives. What he wants is good and not evil. He wants to bring us to an expected end. And the way that that happens is when he come and deal with our hearts and he deal with our souls and our minds, that we do what Brother Tavis is always talking about, and we respond. And not just respond, but we have to respond in a way that is good for us. May the Lord help us this morning. He needs our cooperation, but if we're not willing to cooperate, then that's up to us. That we've done that to ourselves. May the Lord help us and have mercy upon us. In Ecclesiastes 3:2, it talks about a time to be born and a time to die. When we were born, that's when time began for us. And so we need to understand that at that time, the will and the purpose and the plan has already been set. And so God has it for us. And so you as parents, those of us who have children, it's important that we be living right, but not only living right, but we need to be teaching our children about this concept from a very young age. You are not your own. You were bought with a price, and so your will needs to align with God's will. Sometimes we have our own plans for our lives, and sometimes we have our own plans for our children's life. I'm going to get a little close here. Sometimes we look at our children, I say, I want my child to be a doctor, want my child to be a lawyer, want them to have this nice house and live behind this nice fence in this gated neighborhood. And I want people, when they say my child's name, that they say it with reverence and with respect. That's what we want when we look at our children. May the Lord help us. Our children belong to God just like we do. And we need to teach them by precept and example. This is not your time, it's God's time. And this is not my time, it's God's time. And we need to teach them from a young age by precept and example to pursue and follow after the will of God. May the Lord help us. If we're not doing it, then why would they do it? May God help us this morning. You don't have to be in the pulpit and preach. You don't have to evangelize. But you got to live for the Lord in a way that they know that God is the most important thing. And his will is what we need to be following after. May the Lord help us this morning. Sometime we get it in our minds the way we want things to go. And God don't have that plan for our children. And he don't have that plan for ourselves. And we have to learn to allow the Lord to lead and to guide and to direct our lives. And we need to be content with that. Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. May the Lord help us this morning. Psalms 119, verse number 109. My soul is continually in my hands. So we have a responsibility for our own souls. And what I do with my time is closely related to what happens with my soul. May the Lord help us. God come and deal, and he come and work. He says to us, he says that you need to get saved, young man. You need to get saved, young woman. And we either respond or we don't. And what ends up happening then, if we respond in the way that we should, from that point forward, he's able to work with us in a better way. He's able to deal with us and help us out in a better way. But if we don't, then something begins to happen. We begin to harden ourselves. Our conscience becomes seared. We begin to get less sensitive. We begin to see things in a way that God is not pleased with. We're looking at the same thing that everybody else is looking at, but we're not seeing it in the right way. And so this is what happens when God deals with us time and time again, and we reject him, or we make a partial, what is called a partial concession, but we don't make a full concession. God wants us to fully and completely, with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, give ourselves to him fully, completely, and entirely. If we don't do that, if we draw back, if we hold back, he can't work with us like he wants to. May the Lord help us this morning. And so when God is dealing with us, you know that the Lord is dealing with you. When the God is dealing with you, it is important that you respond and understand that this is time that's passing here. You can't pause time. You can stop the clock in your hand, but time keeps going on, you see. And so God has a time that he wants to deal and work with you. And if you pass that time up, that's not on him, that's on you and I. And I'm talking to the child of God, and I'm talking to one that's not saved. Children of God, as God deal with your heart, and you know he's dealing with you, and you're pushing him off, and you're saying, Lord, I'm going to get to it. Time is passing. May the Lord have mercy upon us. And how do we know that we're going to be in a place where when he come for us, we're going to be ready? If we don't take the time to do business with the Lord when he deals with us, may the Lord help us. May God have mercy upon us. We talk about the sinner, but what about the saint? What about the child of God as he deals and he works? How are we responding to him? What are we doing with the time that he gives us? Would you agree that God can only give a certain amount of grace and mercy, and then he's got to move on as well? You see. So may the Lord help us. May he have mercy upon our never dying souls. We don't want to lose our souls. Many people think that they have more time than they actually have. Many people, I don't want to scare you this morning, but it is kind of scary. Many people wake up in eternity and they thought they had more time. You see. It's a solemn thought. And we don't preach like this all the time. But this is the truth of God's word. And this is what he gave. You see, and so you have to know these things so you can do business with the Lord from a standpoint of knowledge and understanding. You know that the Lord has dealt with your heart. What are we procrastinating? Why are we waiting? I know I need to do it. If I do it, I'll feel better for it. But I'm waiting for God knows what and God knows who, because it's never going to happen. You understand? There will always be a reason why you don't need to move when God tells you to move. You see? May the Lord have mercy upon our never dying souls. Listen, I don't want you lost. I don't want to be lost, and I don't want you lost. And so when the Lord come and deal with me and work with me, because he does, I'm not in heaven yet. And he says, son, that was not right. What you said, it wasn't right. Maybe it was right what you said, but it wasn't right how you said it. You said it at the wrong time with the wrong attitude. You need some work, son. You know what I got to do? Do you know what I got to do? Same thing everybody else got to do. Go find me an altar of prayer and ask him to forgive me and to help me. I want to make heaven too. You understand? So I got to do it too. We all got to do it. But the faithful God that we talked about in the song that came forward, he's there for us, and he loves us, and he cares about us. That's why he's there talking to us in the first place. He wants to do something about it, because he knows that where we're at and the direction we're going, we're not going to make it like that. See, salvation is not only an acquisition, but it's directional. meaning that not only do we get salvation, but we have to walk in the right direction once we're saved. If we're not, and we began to walk in the wrong direction, we began losing our salvation. That's the definition of backsliding. Okay? And so as God deals and he works with us, we've got to have the yes, Lord mentality. It's me, Lord. I'm willing to deal with you. I'm willing to work with you. I'm willing to allow you to help me because, Lord, I can't do this anyway. I'm no good at this. I said that. I meant that. I'm just not good at it. You might can step on my toes 2-3 times, but that fourth time, though. You see what I'm saying? But the Bible says when they do you wrong, don't you get to acting up. You keep doing right. And so I got to do something about it. I got to go to him and say, Lord, I need a little grace. I need a little more something. I need more love. Something, Lord, because it's running out, Lord. You see? May the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us this morning. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to make it in. And so I want you to understand the seriousness about God's dealing with our hearts. And I want you to understand about time. Time is a big deal. We don't have as much time as we think we have. And before you know it, you'll be way down the line and you'll be wondering where the time has gone. 1 John 2:14 says, I've written unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you. I want you to pay attention. I've written unto you young men because ye are strong. And there are other scriptures about remembering the Lord in the days of our youth. I want to talk to the young people again this morning. Give your heart to the Lord. I don't care if you don't understand it all. If all you understand is that you need to give your heart to the Lord and that the Lord is dealing with your heart, the Bible says you'll know if you follow on to know. Give your heart to the Lord. Okay? Give it to the Lord and see if that don't help. See if that don't bless you in your life and help you along the way. May the Lord help us. Sometime we are saved and we get saved later on. I did that. And I lament that. And I'm sorry for that. And I wish I never did it that way. God dealt with me at a very young age. I'm serious now. Okay? And I knew who he was, and I knew it was him, and I could have done myself a huge favor by yielding to the Lord at a young age. I'm glad I got in. Because it did, listen to me, you're not guaranteed nothing. You are not guaranteed anything. All the prayers of the saints and all the love of God is all there, and that's all true. But sometimes what we do negates that. We can stand on the edge of the cliff and jump and then lament it on the way down, but we already jumped. And sometimes we're living our life like that. Well, I know my mama's praying for me. I know my daddy praying. My grandma, my grandpa, you know, I know they're praying for me. So I'm going to stay out here a little while longer, see what I can get away with. You see? But what I'm doing is I'm putting myself, I'm presuming on the mercy of God. And God is a merciful God. I wouldn't be here if he wasn't. But I'm saying that it doesn't always work out that way. And so as soon as the Lord began to deal with you, let him deal and let him. You're going to do it anyway. Let me ask you this. Don't answer out loud, but I want you to be thinking about this. You know, number one, that hell is not an option. You know that. And so you know that there's only one way to go to heaven. You know that as well. So in your mind, believe it or not, you've already decided that you want to go to heaven. You just haven't made that move yet. But you know that you don't want to go to hell, and you know that you want to go to heaven. You also know that the people that live right, those Christians, they're human too, but those are some good people, and you want to be a good person too. So what's the holdup? What are we waiting for? May the Lord help us to move. when God is dealing with our hearts, I know that he's dealing and I know that he's working. Time is precious and it's passing. All right. And the enemy wants us to think that we have way more time than we actually do. 100 years is not a long time. We really think that it is, especially when we're young, but it's not. I'm halfway there already. I can't even tell you how I got here so fast, but I'm here. And in my mind, I know I don't have another 50. I know that. I'll be blessed to get another 25. Yeah. So what am I going to do? I'm going to live every day. You understand? By the grace of God, I'm going to live pleasing and honoring unto God. And if God deal with my heart, I mess up, I'm going to ask him to forgive me, and I'm going to keep right on going. Because I'm way farther than what I was. And if I'm going to get there, I got to keep going on by the grace and help of God. May the Lord help us. Now, I'm going to talk briefly about something that is a distractor. Many times, well, the world, what a surprise that the world comes up with any and everything to prevent aging. We got the hair dyes, we got, and I'm not telling you to not look nice and all that. That ain't what I'm telling you. I'm telling you this morning, if you've never heard this before, you heard it this morning, you can't stop aging. Even if everything looked good on the outside, it's dead inside, though. You understand? And what aging is God telling you, I'm coming. Even if I'm not coming back for all of you, I'm coming back for you. It is appointed unto man what? Once to die, then after that, then what? The judgment, see? And so it's going to happen. And so aging is actually a blessing. He's saying, listen, time is moving on. You know that because things are aching that never used to ache. You know that because you can't get up as fast as you need, as you used to. And if you do, you pay the price. You beat and fell out somewhere. Huh? You got grays now. You're losing your hair. All of those things are indicators that time is moving on and that you're not going to be here too much longer. And so that's really a blessing because it makes us look at our priorities. And so I want to talk about briefly our priorities by the help of the Lord. I'm almost finished here, but I appreciate your time and your attention. But I want to talk about priorities. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Don't answer them out loud. Be thinking about them, please. What is important? How important is that argument that you're having? That you've had for the last 5, 10, 15 years sometimes. Right? How important is the fact that you need to get your point across and you need to prove to them that you're right? How important is that vendetta, that revenge that you need to get, that you've been done wrong and they need to know that you've been done wrong and you're going to get them, and that's what's hindering you from really being what the Lord would have you to be? How important is that? Those same vendettas, those vengeful spirits, if you leave here with them in you, you'll be going to a place that'll be full of those things. You see? And you won't want them then. You will have wanted to gotten rid of them on this side. And I can understand when somebody's hurt you and you have a problem forgiving them, but how important is that unforgiveness that you're holding on to? Lord, help us. Only God can help you to get rid of those things. And I'm telling you, you don't want to leave here with that in your heart. But it seems so important right now. I got to get these folks. You know, there are whole groups of people against other groups of people. And if God don't have mercy and if people don't change their hearts and minds, they're all going to be lost. May the Lord help. How important is that? I got to get my point across. I got to prove to these folks. They talked about me and they said I was this and I was that. And so the devil got people proving to other people something that is completely and unnecessary and unimportant. I'm trying to prove that I'm important to somebody else because they said I wasn't important. You know who you need to prove something to? By thy blessed word obeying, Lord, we prove our love sincere. All the proving that we need to do on this side of eternity need to be done in that vein. And I'll give you another hint here. I don't care what proving you do or don't do. If people don't want to accept it, they just won't accept it. So you can spend your entire life trying to prove something and prove it, and they still don't accept it. Meanwhile, what's happening with time? Have you any time for Jesus? Will you not take time to serve him? He spent his life for you. You see? So what happens is the enemy gets us on all of these less than important things, and we spend our time on our promotions, on the bigger house, the newer car, and it's always something else that we're trying to prove. And sometimes even as Christians, he tries to have us doing those things. And at the end of the day, we are wasting time and we're losing out if we're not careful. I got one reading here. I want you to go with me. I'm almost done. Again, I ask you to pray for me because do you know I got to go to heaven too? I'm not, y'all think I'm just, I ain't just saying, I mean that. And so by the help of the Lord, I want to make it in and I want to do what I need to do with my time that I be pleasing and honoring unto God. May the Lord help us. He said unto them, this is in Luke 12. Verse number 15, going to read on down through verse number 21. Want you to pay attention. It says, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Stop worrying about what you don't have. Start being thankful for what you do have. And see what the Lord can do with what you do have. May the Lord help us. And it says here in verse number 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I want you to pay attention to what's happening here. God can bless us and we can be so enamored and excited about the blessing that we forget about the blessor. We focus on, this man had some good things going on here. He had so much fruit and goods that he had the ability to store those goods, he had outrun that ability to do that. Right? And so he was blessed. We can be blessed by the Lord, and sometime we'll be so blessed by the Lord that we'll fold our arms and we'll cross our legs and we'll lean on back and say, Lord, you are so good. And he's saying, but what about the field, though? My house is filled, but my fields are empty. Who's going to go and work for me today? Who's going to do something with the time that I give them? Who's going to go out there and win souls? And so even this even applies to the child of God. Lord, is this what you want me doing right now? I'm not saying that God don't give us times of rest. I'm not saying he don't give us times of enjoyment and rejoicing and all those things. But you and I are never, we are never in a place where we forget about those souls that are lost. We are here to win souls to Christ. If somebody didn't do their job, then we wouldn't be saved ourselves. And so we have to be willing to be workers together with Christ. And sometimes we got to get up from that dinner table that God has set for us and get back out to work. Because time is winding up. The Lord told me, you've got a dash. That's what you got. You have a starting point and an ending point, and that dash is all you have. And some of that dash, you just wasted it. And so really you're on background and you need to catch up. And so I'm trying to catch up with the time that I already wasted, and I'm trying to do all that I can with the remainder of my dash. May Lord help us. And so not only was he greedy, you know, greed is awful. Greed will let you feed yourself and somebody be starving right next to you and you won't give them a thing. You won't even see them, won't even recognize the need that they have. And so greed is that way. It is always hungry. It is always thirsty. You will always need more. That's what he did. He said, I got a bunch of stuff. Now I'm not going to give it to nobody. I'm not going to share it with nobody. I'm just going to make a bigger barns and bigger areas so I can have even more. And so it'll never stop. That's the point of this scripture. When you have that kind of a mindset, it will never stop. So somewhere along the way, he forgot all about the will of God in his life. He wasn't worried about what God thought about all these things. And he didn't go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this surplus? You see? And this doesn't just happen all at once. He had been this way for some time. He had been disregarding God's dealings with him. You see? And so it says here in verse number 19 on down through 21, it says, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, want you to pay attention. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The whole entire point of this message this morning is, what are you doing with your time? Are you rich towards God, or are you rich towards the things of this life? Where are your priorities? Where are your values? What are you doing with what God has given you? May the Lord help us this morning. What happened is he thought he had more time, and he thought he was set up for success. He said, I got all this stuff. I know what I'm going to eat. I know what I'm going to drink. I'm good. If I get in trouble, I'll sell some of this stuff and I'll still be good. That's what he thought in his mind. And this same story has been happening over and over and over and over again. What I want to encourage you to do is set your affection on things above. Start looking at what God has for you in this life, what he wants you to do. And then begin moving towards that thing with the utmost haste and urgency. Lord, what is your will for me in this life? What would you have for me to do with the time that you have given me? And also, and likewise, Lord, I don't know when you're going to come and when you're going to deal with me, when you're going to come and require my soul of me, but I want my soul to be in a place where you're pleased. You can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter ye in to the joys of my Father. Come see this mansion I got for you. Come see this crown I have for you. We have to be thinking and living in those ways. You're not saved, you need salvation. If you are saved and you need measure up, do it now. Don't be waiting. Don't be procrastinating. Tomorrow is not promised. And even if tomorrow comes, what ends up happening is we get used to procrastinating. We get used to the fact that we think we have more time. And then when the time is up, we get smacked with it. We hadn't been doing what we should do. And so we just keep thinking that there's always going to be more time. May the Lord have mercy upon our souls. I pray that these words this morning would find a resting place in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. Yes. I pray if God deal with you that you cannot be comfortable until you do something about the matter of your soul. Yes. May God bless and help each and every one of us. Yes. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home. Yes. I'm not going by myself. I want to take somebody with me. And so pray for me. I've got a little bit of time left, and whatever time I have, I want it to be for the Lord. Amen. You pray for me. I will be praying for you. Thank you for your time and your attention.